The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and it's not going to call, just Jill Sirkin.
We had a tweet from the lovely Tracy Ferguson, who's listening in, and she says, why is such a powerful question, Bethany?
I thought it was a place outside Ashford.
enjoying the positivity conversation and the mindful group walks in nature are a great idea, she says. Mm. And we've had another tweet. Oh, Wayne Cunnington is on his way to London to meet Andrew Bridgen for his meeting tonight. And he says, hope you're feeling better, Jules. And thank you, Wayne. And enjoying your great show, you and Paul. That's Wayne Cunnington. He is at Wayne TLC. Cool. Also, Sarah Marsh Collins is listening to Bethany. Says,
I hope you're feeling better, Sarah. I understand you've got a touch of the flu.
She's had the lurgy, yeah.
And how's your dad?
Yeah, exactly. The cellulitis, and he's stuck in Woolwich Hospital, and Sarah's not well. So an elderly man on his own in hospital who had to wait 6 hours for a cup of tea on IV, not good. So sending love to you and your dad. But she says, we never take the time out to just relax and breathe. So having a class that makes you take that time is so valuable, Jules Sirkin. Thank you. Sadly, I don't do the class anymore. But I still do the relaxing and breathing. Martin Reeves says, one of my old friends is a builder and is now sadly an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And he's used the B Bunker hashtag. That's awful to hear, Martin. Very sad. And DG East has just hopped up on a different note. He says, hi, Paul, and your little helper, I think that's me, please can you give a shout out to a frustrated vehicle supplier waiting for the underwriters to agree to fund vehicles ready for delivery. And you can contact DG East on Twitter. He is an independent contract hire and leasing provider of cars and commercial vehicles to both private and business customers. His website is dgeast.co.uk, and his Twitter is dgeast1. So give him a follow.
Cool. I've had a completely different tweet. I've had a tweet from Battery Garden Machines.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, is there anyone out there who has set up a CIC, that's a community interest company, or anybody who provides advice to setting up CICs, or anyone who can provide services to CICs? Now, interestingly, I got an answer to that.
And you do? Did you tweet him?
I have tweeted him, but I'm going to read it as well.
Yeah, do.
Yeah, because I've got an organisation called the Kent Social Enterprise Club.
Oh.
And they say, what's a social enterprise? It's a weekly online startup support sessions for new and developing social enterprises, that includes community interest companies, delivered by Kent's leading specialist social enterprise incubator. And you can find out about them by going to their website, which is capenterprise.co.uk.
How apt.
Capenterprise.co.uk. Anybody would think that was set up, but it wasn't.
That's really good. So Battery Garden Machinery is on the Twitter, battery_gardens. And give him a follow, because they've been selling Battery Garden Machinery for over 10 years.
Yep.
And they know all about them. And so I guess he's going to sort of branch out a bit on that, isn't he?
I see what you did there. Yeah.
But you know, it's a cut above the rest, isn't
it?
Oh,
here we go. Yeah.
But let's not grass about it. Let's carry on with the show, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, let's do that.
There are more than 90 new jobs that have been created at one of Kent's largest employers. Defence, aerospace and security giant BAE Systems has opened early career opportunities at its Rochester site as part of a national recruitment drive. In total, 93 roles are being created in Medway, and the site will welcome 30 apprentices in September next year across a range of levels, including hardware engineering degree apprenticeships. We love apprenticeships on this show, don't we?
Yeah, BAE Systems have level 6 and 7 apprenticeships, which are degree level as well. It's fantastic. You, not in Kent, but you can also get a nuclear engineering degree with BAE Systems at their plant in Barrow, Inverness.
Just to say you've got a nuclear engineering degree sounds pretty cool, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they build nuclear submarines there. And that would be a useful degree because the technology that they use in nuclear submarines is what Rolls-Royce are deploying in SMRs, which are small modular reactors, which they're trying to roll out if the government stop messing about. You can build a nuclear power plant, an SMR nuclear power plant, in under 4 years.
But weren't they doing something in down in Dungeness? Or
yeah, decommissioning it.
Oh, okay. So we're all going to freeze then, basically.
Yeah, they. There are three reactors in Dungeness, A, B and C. A was decommissioned a long time ago. B's got a problem and C's being decommissioned. B has a technical problem. But C is a perfectly functional nuclear power station that they just decided they didn't want to use anymore. It's pathetic.
Yeah,
and they applied for an SMR to be put there and the government said no.
That's bonkers.
It's just stupid.
I know. Well, having had that electric car for 3 weeks, it was expensive. I found it was expensive and I don't do a lot of miles. This is a sad one. I sent you this one, didn't I, about Gomez. Gomez.
Oh, Gomez. I wonder what you said there.
It always sounds like a children's character. I think it was, wasn't it Sesame Street? It was a Gomez.
Quite possibly.
More than 400 people are facing Christmas without a job after being told a Kent firm is shutting down with immediate effect. And it's a fresh produce company, A. Gomez Limited, and they're based just in Bridge, just outside Canterbury.
Just outside Canterbury, yeah.
They've confirmed to staff it has ceased trading and is bringing in an administrator. So imagine losing your job, just before Christmas if you've got children or whatever, you've got extra expense. Very difficult. And that's fresh produce. So we need fresh produce, but we know that they're building on farms all through Kent and the UK. So I don't know what's going to happen. Are we going to be eating bugs and worms or soy?
But the problem with all of these things is the cost of energy.
Yeah.
We just got ridiculous government-controlled costs of energy.
This is why we will have egg shortages again, because it's not just the, it's the baby chicks that have to be incubated and kept warm, and as well as the feed, which has gone up. Shopping centres in Kent have been hit hard in recent years with the rise in online shopping, the pandemic and a cost of living crisis forcing everyone to spend less. But a recent study has revealed that the Pantiles in Tunbridge Wells is bucking that trend, and it's one of the best places for independent shops in the UK, with business owners claiming it's the best it's ever looked. Well, we need to go there and have a look, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely. Your battery guard machinery have replied, and they said, cheers, we've set one up, and we want to do more next year. So that's cool.
Excellent. Well done. Glad my little helper has helped you.
Cool.
On that.
Did you read the other one from DG East about Kent Highways?
No, I haven't seen. Oh, yeah, hang on.
It says, hi, Paul and your little helper. Please, can you give a shout-out to Kent Highways to ask if they will ever fill in any potholes? Yeah. All over Kent, causing severe damage to cars and vans. Not only that, outside my house, in the last 18 months, they've shut the road 7 times to do stuff out there.
Hold on,
let me finish. And not once have they filled the potholes in while they've been doing it.
But something odd is going on because all the roads are closed, Bethany, aren't they? I don't know, Rachel, where you're in Sandwich, aren't you?
Yeah.
Roads are closed everywhere.
They are trying to make it difficult for you to use your car.
Yeah.
If you look at those road closures, they haven't done any work. They just closed the road.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. And the other thing, I go to London every 3 weeks to see my lovely homeopath.
You don't want to do that.
And, when I come back, it's just bonkers. So you've got 20 miles an hour where you're practically falling asleep. You cannot drive reactively. So you're nodding off, basically. And then you start
and your beepers don't work anyway.
And your beepers don't work. Then it's suddenly 30 miles. Then it's 40 miles. And then it's 20 again. So you're 20, what should I be doing? Then you go on the motorway, A2 or M2, I don't know what it is, coming back home to Whitstable. And it's 50 miles an hour all the way on the motorway around Bexley and all around there. Why?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense. So the journey that should take me an hour and a half is taking me, the other night was 3 hours to get home because of 20 mile an hour. And sometimes the roads are empty, and it's dark and I could just get home. It's bonkers. And I think it almost makes you want to speed because you're so angry because there's no reason. And then also the other thing, they have all the signs up while I'm ranting, Paul Andrews. I must get it off my chest. Bethany would say it's very good to get it out of the system.
She's having a cathartic moment.
Yeah. Oh, don't talk about...
Don't talk about cathartic catheters.
But coming home on the A2, there were all these signs saying 50 miles, slow down, 30 miles. There's no reason. So it's like the boy that cried wolf. Mm. And then it's saying vehicle stranded. There was no vehicle stranded. Mm. You know, so then you start to get rebellious, especially at my age, darling.
You're a cantankerous old woman, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
And she's going to wear purple from now on.
My whole house is practically purple now. Mm. But I can see Bethany looking rather worried. I'm not quite sure. Purple sofa, yeah. But she does design as well, you know, interior, darling. She's very good at it. But it does make you, it is like the boy that cried wolf, because if you keep seeing that and there's no reason and you've been slowed down for maybe 3/4 of an hour to an hour.
Yep.
Yeah. And you want to get home.
Stop voting for them. That's my idea. Don't keep voting for them. Vote for somebody else.
But who is there to vote for?
Anyone. Can vote for anyone.
I don't want Labour and I don't want Conservative. Who? When does...
Monster Raving Loony Party. That's who you want.
We've got the Reform, haven't they? What are they doing? Are they any good?
Who cares? Who cares? Just vote for anyone else.
Or put a big cross on your...
No, that's pointless.
Is it?
People that spoil their paper by drawing rude pictures on it and stuff like that are wasting their time. I stood as an independent candidate a few years ago. What happens is at the end, at the count, they bring all the spoiled papers and they go, is that spoiled? And you go, yes. They go, did he mean to put a cross in that, or does it just look like a man's willy? And you go, no, that's a man's willy. And they go, right, chuck it out. All they do is throw them away. There's no record kept of them. They are thrown away. It's the most pointless thing, is to spoil your paper. There's no point.
And I think, going back to Beth, our guest in the...
She didn't do it, wasn't her.
No. But going back to Beth and what she was saying, there is so much anxiety because we can all see that things are not right.
But you can't change it with
energy, just the price of food, trying to eat healthily, the price of stuff is crazy bonkers, and we're sort of powerless. So I think that's a whole other session.
One of my big things about anxiety, stress and all the rest of it is most of it is induced when you feel you have no control over your life.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's ongoing. It's been happening for 3 years now.
As a management consultant, one of the things I would quite often tell senior management is the reason that your frontline staff are the way they are is because you don't pay any attention to them. You don't listen to what they're saying. Mm. All the problems that your company faces could be answered if you talk to the frontline staff, because they know what's going on, but you don't like hearing what they've got to say. Mm. So you ignore them, and that just creates problems for them because they feel out of control.
And going back to the NHS, do they ever call their own helplines actually listen?
Nobody calls their own helplines.
Listen to it.
Right, Sarah Marsh Collins has been on again in response to what we asked her. She said, thank you, Paul and Jules. I'm recovering, just coughing and wiped out. Dad's cellulitis is officially sorted, so sending him home tomorrow. Let's hope we can keep him clear until his dermatology appointment for the psoriasis, which is in February, which is enabling recurrent infections.
I hope he's on his probiotics now, Sarah, and you've managed to get them to him.
Yeah.
And then she also chirps in, she's done another tweet, Paul Andrews. She says, ooh, yes, I feel that frustration, Jules Serkin. Why in capital? She's shouting now. Why? Do they maintain 50 mile per hour speed limits when it's early, late and no traffic around? Mm. Why follow stupid rules? I get rebellious too. Must be why we get along. We do, darling. We love each other. But it's very frustrating. And I think it's dangerous, because when you see this stuff for no reason, then you are, if you're a normal human being, you are going to just go a bit faster or sneak. And the money they've spent in London on the bollards and the cameras. On the bollards.
Right.
And the cameras. And I read in the Oxford 15 Minute City, they can only go out of their zone or something 100 times a year, apparently.
Yeah.
It's a bit spooky. When does old Khan get voted out then?
He isn't going to get voted out, but it's next year.
He's still going to be in.
Of course he is.
Really? Why? Well, everybody hates him.
Yeah, well,
he's brought London to a standstill.
Yeah, but because everybody says the same as you, but who can you vote for? Yeah, well, we'll carry on doing what we've always done.
No.
And you'll keep on getting what you always got, yeah. Right, anyway, enough of all this nonsense. This is supposed to be a business show.
Yeah, well, it is. It's all about business, because London is falling apart business-wise.
We've got a guest I want to talk to.
I do.
We want to completely change the subject away from all of that.
More than you.
I'm talking to her first.
I want to talk to you her
You wait
than
your
you.
Turn.
Yeah, I yeah. love property, as you know. Rachel.
We are pleased, very pleased, to welcome onto the show Rachel Hodge. Rachel, thank you so much for saving us from her.
Hi there, thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Rachel is from Property by Polygon, and you own some lovely properties in Canterbury. Why don't you, what's the best way to start this? Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about what Property by Polygon is, and then we're going to delve into what Rachel is and who Rachel is, if we can. Yeah,
shall
just to get a bit of background.
Shall I do it the other way around? Shall I tell you?
Well, I thought about it, and then I thought, well, it might not make sense if people don't know what you do.
Yes, so I run Property by Polygon. It's a short-term accommodation business.
Right.
So we have properties in Canterbury, and basically anybody needing somewhere to stay from 2 nights up to 6 months, we have fully furnished, fully fitted kitchens, all bills and things paid. So basically there are ready to go property, just drop your suitcase and away you go.
Fantastic. I guess I'm going to answer my own question here. One tends to think of holiday lets, but it isn't just holiday lets, is
no,
it?
No, we have business and leisure guests. So
yeah. Well, it's actually a thing now, isn't it? And I assume this is where you're positioned in the market, where quite a few companies will send someone to work in Canterbury for a few weeks.
Even doctors and hospitals.
Yeah, know. Yeah, and stuff like that, yeah. But instead of booking them into a hotel, which is fairly...
soulless. Unless it's
exactly
the
what she said.
Unless it's the Ritz or...
They will use a service like yours, is that true?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, our guests can be anything from the leisure guests to people that are needing somewhere to stay in between moves.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they don't want to have an empty property for, you know, have to sign a six-month contract and then have to start all their bills and council tax and everything again.
Yeah.
Right up to, as you were saying... business guests, and we have a lot of contractors, and having a whole house situation can actually be a lot cheaper. For start, if you have four guys that are working on site, you'd have four hotels.
They're sharing a house, kind of thing. Yeah.
So they could share a house, but you know, if they had to have a hotel, there'd be four separate hotel rooms. Mm. They wouldn't have a kitchen.
Yeah.
So it actually gets quite expensive, and
it's also healthier. It means they can cook for themselves rather than have hotel.
Yeah, of course it does.
And also from the point of view as what Beth was saying, just your general well-being, sort of.
Yeah.
When you're in whole house, you've got the
a lounge.
You know, you can sort of relax together.
It's more homely.
You can cook together.
Yeah.
Save money that way. But then you've got your own space. You can go back to your bedroom.
Yeah.
So it's actually cost effective, but I think it's just generally nicer as well. So we get a lot of contractors, and quite often they'll stay Monday to Friday, and you know, maybe for even several months, and that frees up the weekends where leisure guests. So we're in Canterbury. It's a big tourist area. It's a beautiful city. So that can work quite well.
Okay, so during the week, you get people working in the city, they clear off on a Friday, and then you get the holiday tourists in for the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
It can work that way. Or we could have somebody that's just staying for a month or two. They might be on business themselves. Sometimes the contractors, if they're really coming from, you know, Scotland or something, then they'll stay for the whole time as well.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it can be people having renovations that just... We had some guests, it was a family, and they had a kitchen and a bathroom done at the same time, so they just moved out for a couple of weeks while that was done, so they could leave all the, you know, the mess
the
and the dust and everything, get somebody to sort it all out and then just move back in.
Are these all houses or flats?
We've got one ground floor apartment, but the rest are all houses,
I wanted to talk to you about that. So how many properties have you got in total?
So we've got eight.
Blimey. Okay.
So when did you first start buying them? 1066.
Hold on a minute. So
let her answer.
No. Because
she wants to answer.
I want to know the answer to that question, but I want it in sequence because I wanted to start by getting some information about Rachel and her background, and then when did you start this? What made you start
this?
No, because it makes sense my way.
Actually always wanted to be a doctor.
Right.
When I was younger, so nothing to do with property, nothing to do with hospitality at all.
Right.
But I messed up one of my A-levels. It was a very sad time. I was very upset about it. I'd always wanted to be a doctor.
Could you take the A-level again?
No. So I decided to do a degree in medical biochemistry. with the purpose of doing medicine after it. But after I'd finished that, that was a four-year course. The idea of doing 5 years study, it was just like, oh, do you know what? I don't think I've got it in me.
You're exhausted.
So I actually did a three-year course in physiotherapy instead.
Okay.
So I worked in the NHS, worked my way up to a clinical specialist, and then my husband actually got a secondment to America. And so,
is he a doctor or...?
No, he was... he was a scientist working, and so we had two small children at the time, so we thought we'll have this amazing adventure.
Where in America?
It was actually St. Louis.
Wow.
But right. We didn't actually get there.
Oh.
So, yeah, I left my job, we sold our house, and we were all ready to go. And just before we were supposed to go, the secondment fell through. So I had two small children at the time, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to take some time and just be a stay-at-home mum and enjoy that the time while they were young. But that kind of a couple of years turned into a few more years. Had another child, so got three children, and then just decided, yeah. So I did go back to physiotherapy for a little bit when my youngest went to school, but... it wasn't quite the same. I didn't enjoy it in the same way. Mm. And my husband was working overseas quite a lot. The children were in sort of breakfast club, after school club. And it wasn't a really nice time. We were all stressed. We needed Beth. And it was just, life's too short. Let's change something. Let's, you know, make things better for ourselves. So I actually went on a two-day conference, a property conference in London, just to work out some of the strategies and what was going on in property, because I didn't really have... I always loved property. I loved looking around people's houses and, you know, the interior design magazines and things like that. But
You're nosy, aren't you?
I know. I still love it.
Yeah.
But... I didn't know anything about property, so I went on that and I learned about this strategy called serviced accommodation or short-term rentals.
Yep.
Mm.
And I thought, you know what, that might just work. Mm. You know, I loved being with people, I loved the property side, so, you know, I had the property side and the hospitality that would, you know, go hand in hand together. So, yeah, that was kind of set. And then,
and when was this? How long ago?
So straight off the back of... doing the conference. I went on lots of different courses. I've got my ducks in a row even. And then it was February 2020 when I got my first property.
Okay.
So just before a global pandemic.
And was this by mortgage or cash?
Well,
it's
a good question, and I want to kind of answer that.
You're
going to
answer it.
No. I want Rachel to answer it. But I was just going to say this service housing is a big market these days. I know a chap in Maidstone that does Maidstone and Medway. He tends to not own the properties. He manages properties for other people. Yeah. So where you would have been a landlord normally having just one tenant, he takes it into his portfolio. But you actually acquired your property, yeah?
Yeah, so I have a mix of rented properties and properties that I own. So we put an offer in for a property before the pandemic, and that took 10 months to go through. So actually that was the second house that we got. The first house was actually a rented property that we got, and we tend to... have properties that need a little bit of work to do, that are more difficult for families to rent out.
But if it's a rented property, so are you subletting? Is that allowed?
Yeah, so it's done with a company let agreement. Okay. So it's all with the agreement of the landlord, or quite often they're done through a letting agent as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you're quite right. If it was done with an AST contract, then it wouldn't be allowed.
Sure.
But with a contract, with a company let agreement, then it's fine.
I guess for one of the benefits for the property owner is you're going to refurbish their property for them.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So we tend to take properties that aren't suitable for a family.
They're run down is what they are, Rachel. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I would say most of them have actually been student lets that the landlord has had enough, and you're quite right, we have to keep them in show home condition. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, our guests aren't going to give us reviews, they're not going to enjoy staying there.
Yeah.
We also do you know, bits of maintenance for them because it's easier for us just to get it done. So it's really hands off for a landlord.
So it
can be really beneficial for them. They don't have to do an awful lot.
So you started off renting properties. You also purchased your own property, and you have 8 properties now.
Yeah.
Jules asked you quite rightly to explain what they are, and I interrupted her, so you can now answer her question. What type of properties do you have?
So we've got a mix. So from 1-bed to 4-bed.
Right.
Some townhouses. We've got a ground floor apartment. So they vary. So there really is something for everyone.
Right.
They're all within a 15-minute walk of the city centre, so they're all really close to the city centre.
Right.
No parking charges for people.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got most of the properties have got their own parking. The ones that haven't, we've got parking options. So that can be, really useful.
Yeah.
And quite often if there's, contractors that need quite a few houses, then if they've got quite a few people, then they'll just take a few houses. They all tend to be there are a lot that are quite close together, so it can work for sort of larger parties as well that just need their own space.
Okay. So you launched your business at the start of the pandemic. Totally terrific planning there. Not that you knew that that was coming.
Our first guests were cleaners, actually. And then after that, I had to become the cleaner because we couldn't get anybody.
I had to do the laundry,
the ironing, literally everything.
Well, I was just thinking, if you've got people, corporates in the week or whatever, and then at weekend leisure, you've got this very fast turnaround.
Yeah, well, at that point, when we were in lockdown, we were only able to take key workers. So there was always that understanding. So, you know, they were there, tended to be there for a longer period of time, and we couldn't obviously go in while they were in. But in between people, I was the one doing the cleaning and the laundry at the same time as homeschooling the children and trying to build a business. It was a tough time.
Overachiever. She's an overachiever. And when you acquire a property and it needs some refurbishing, who's the design genius behind it? Do you do this yourself or do you bring in designers? How does it work?
I do it myself because that's the bit I really love. I love at the beginning when you get a property and you have to, set it up. The setup is the favourite bit for me, and then seeing the first guests going in.
And Beth's nodding away here because it's what she used to do as well.
I love it.
Yeah.
I also love, I do love looking at other people's and
work. You're nosy. We already decided that.
That is my favourite part. We do it ourselves.
Okay, so you do the designs and the soft furnishings and all of that.
I love soft furnishing. Yeah.
Yeah, you're into a soft furnishing. So you've seen, where are we, 2023, almost 2024, so almost 4 years now. Are you pleased you did it?
Yes. It's really hard work. The pandemic was so awful, but from a business point of view, the silver linings were that in February 2020 when we started, we only had one property. So that was quite fortuitous that we only had to concentrate on that one.
And was that a rental or an owned property?
So that was the rental.
Right.
And then the second one was one that we owned. But we grew during that time, and it gave us enough space to sort of set our systems and automations. And although everything I'd learned, I'd been on several courses before to get my ducks in a row and know exactly.
I'm fascinated by what kind of courses you went on. What were they showing you?
So it was behind the strategies that you can do, raising finance,
right,
and what you needed to do to set up, because you can't just throw some furniture in and then get some guests off the streets. There were lots of systems, there was lots of regulation, and I really wanted to just work out at the very beginning the right way of doing it, set that blueprint so that we could scale up.
Because with multiple lets, you must be operating as an HMO in some respects as well.
No,
okay.
They're all, so we did, some of the properties that we took used to be kind of HMOs in Somerset, although they were student lets, but no, we don't. We're a whole house.
Okay. Because HMOs are a nightmare now because, yeah, there's a lot of local authorities actually charge you a licence fee for having an HMO.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you don't have that with serviced accommodation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It might come in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it comes in.
Yeah.
But at the moment there isn't, which is good.
It's another one where the government think they've had a clever idea and then they cock up a marketplace. Again, coming back to Kenwood Trust, we move people on that have been resolved in their issues, but they now need to move back into society. And we own a number of houses where we send them to live, move on houses, but they're HMOs. Mm-hmm. And it's a nightmare trying to run an HMO now.
Yeah.
And you say to the local authority, but these are people that we've cured their addiction problems, and they now need to get back into society. And you, Mr. Government, local government, are making it impossible for them to do that with your stupid rules.
So they can't move on and they can't get back to getting a job. And
okay,
there's some big differences between HMO and service accommodation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that is the difference, that it's serviced accommodation, not a home, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, property by Polygon, where does it go from now? What's the plan? World domination.
No, our guest experience is the most important thing to us.
Yeah.
So we're looking more at ways that we can, give the guest the best experience they can from the minute that they book to, when they go. We're really lucky that we get an awful lot of repeating guests, and that's a real compliment. Mm. They're our favourite guests.
Sorry to interrupt, because it's what I wanted to move on to is how you market this. What I'm hearing, I guess, is that you get quite a lot of word of mouth.
I think we do, from the point of view of quite a few people that have stayed, come from overseas. So for example, recently we had a family that came from China. Their children were going to one of the schools, and they needed a new home. Yeah, so they stayed with us for a month while they were looking for their new rental, their new home. But then they've got family that come down and visit them. So because they had a good stay with us, they don't even look anywhere else when their family come. Mm. They would just come and say, oh, have you got a house for this week? And
yeah.
Listeners that don't know, Canterbury has three private schools, I think, big private schools, Kent College, King's and
St Edmunds.
Yeah. Mm.
So lots of overseas visitors.
Yeah, And also we've got the universities, which we work a lot with as well.
Mm. Yeah, cool.
Plus hospital. I don't know about KNC, but I know that a lot of medics used to have to come down, but KNC seems a bit run down now. I don't know what's happening.
We do sometimes have locums who stay with us, but they have their own accommodation as well, so it is different. But
the Kent and Canterbury Hospital were a laugh when my youngest was at school in Canterbury. If we didn't go in on a Saturday after sport, they used to ring us up, see where we were. We've been waiting for him. Yeah, he hasn't turned up this week. Yeah, no, we didn't get injured this week, really. Yeah,
because there's no A&E there now.
Which is mad,
isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, just coming back to what I was saying to you earlier. So, are you looking for more properties? Have you thought about moving to somewhere other than Canterbury? Or what kind of plans have you got?
We quite like Canterbury. Mm. I would never. We're always looking, really. It also depends on demand. Everything's changing all the time. So this year we're really looking at enhancing our guest experience, but also working on the sustainability aspect that we do certain things, to do our bit, but we're looking at really enhancing that next year. So we plant a tree for every guest that comes to stay with
us. Okay.
And we're reducing our single-use plastic, so we use reusable soaps and washing up liquids and things like that.
Right.
And other things. So we're really looking to increase our sustainability aspect of our business next year. That will be the big thing, that and the guest experience. But we never say no. We're always happy to look at new properties.
Sure. Rachel, it's been a pleasure talking to you. If people want to find out what your properties look like, I'm sure you've got pictures on your website, or find out more about it. What's your website? Give us a shout out for your website so people can have a look.
So it's www.propertybypolygon.co.uk.
Right.
And we've also Facebook and Instagram as well. Our handle is at Property by Polygon, so they can see pictures on there.
Check it out. Have a look at the pictures. The properties look fantastic. I've had a look at some of the pictures on Instagram.
Certainly a great idea if you're renovating your house, as Bethany will know, like the dust everywhere. Yeah. You know, just get out.
Wash your children in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the big things that you identified there is people moving house, you know, moved out of one house, not ready to move into the next house. And you don't want to take a rental somewhere because you've got to, you know, do everything all over again and then stop and do it all over again.
I think try and be problem solvers. So, you know, anybody who needs somewhere to stay will try and solve that problem for them, whatever reason they're needing somewhere.
Fantastic. Rachel, thank you for that. Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. We haven't got much longer left to go. But for the moment, Rachel Hodge of Property by Polygon, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.
And Tracy Ferguson listening in is going back to the 20 mile an hour limit. And she says, I agree, Jules, you know, rebels unite. Because, it is quite frustrating.
Come the glorious day, comrades. Come the revolution.
Crawling along. And Casey K9, our resident Greyhound listener, says, I had a very enjoyable walk this morning with my friends Jack and Zippy. Please can you give us all a shout out? And there's a shout out there to Herondon Vets and Kent Greyhound Rescue.
Fantastic. I'll just check in some of the tweets to see what we've got. Have you got any emails that you need to
read? Yeah, there's a village that's going to have its first fish and chip shop in decades.
Blimey.
As it takes over what was once a pub. And this is about Sittingbourne. So plans have been approved by Swale Council for a takeaway in Newington High Street near Sittingbourne. The new business will be open for trading from 8 to 10 p.m, 7 days a week, following an application submitted by resident Rosaria Rodriguez. I love her name. Rosaria Rodriguez. It will open in the building which was formerly home to lettings agency Ashton Birkinshaw, which was once a pub. So that pub has had many hats on, hasn't it?
It certainly has.
And the Furley Page Foundation has provided a significant donation of £7,500 to the Canterbury Food Bank to help the charity purchase food and essential supplies for people across the district this year. Each year, staff at law firm Furley Page raise money which is distributed to local charitable causes through the Furley Page Foundation. Try and say that after a cider. Mm-hmm. Furley Page Foundation. To make a positive impact in the community. And this year's chosen charity, the Canterbury Food Bank, has received the largest single donation the foundation has been able to make since it was established in 2015. They were on Scoff and Quaff last year, if you remember.
Yeah, I do.
Canterbury Food Bank.
Yeah, fantastic. The Kent and Medway Business Summit is due to take place again this year in January at the University of Kent in Canterbury at the Kent Business School. It's on the 12th of January and it's bringing together business, academia and strategic partners, and you can be part of the conversation. If you want to book your tickets, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, you can find all the details there and a link to book.
And I don't know whether I read this or not, but I'll read it again. Sarah Marsh Collins. Did I say this? Yes, I did. Ooh, yes, because she shouted, why do they maintain 50
days? Yeah, no, you read that already.
Yeah, I've read that one. I've read all mine then.
Okay, the Rebel Business School. This is very important, says Henry. A short pitch about Rebel's brand new delivery model to support people across Kent to get started and to grow their business. Join Henry, the Rebel School's new CEO, to learn about how the new model can greatly benefit people across Kent. There are two sessions for this same pitch to make sure you don't miss out. And we've missed today's one, but tomorrow's is the 13th at 2 p.m. The Rebel Business School helps people start businesses. It's entirely free to use. It's supported by KCC and the government. And you can find out about it by going to therebelschool.com. So check it out. And Henry Nicholson, who's the CEO of the Rebel Business School, was actually a guest on this show a couple of weeks ago.
And a group of corporate businesses in Tunbridge Wells have grouped together to cut through the noise about sustainability and making a great difference by learning from and supporting one another. And the initiative, named Amplify, aims to tap into the collective knowledge and expertise from across different disciplines and sectors to ignite real change together. And it's been founded by the top 100 law firm Cripps, and global brand and digital agency Yo-Yo Design. And the group also includes brilliant businesses such as Children's Salon, AXA Health, Handelsbanken and Crow UK. Alongside support from Tunbridge Wells Together, the town's business improvement district and Tunbridge Wells Borough Council. So well done, Amplify.
Fantastic. A new multi-million pound surgical centre is set to open soon, which will create around 200 jobs. It's the orthopaedic hub at Maidstone Hospital and Hermitage Lane, and they'll be treating patients in spring next year. Blimey. The centre behind the main hospital building will provide three state-of-the-art operating theatres and 24 surgical beds. It will expand Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells NHS Trust's capacity for routine orthopaedic operations, including for more than 2,000 extra knee and hip replacements each year. I don't need that many. I only need one of each. So that's good news, isn't it?
Sorry, I'm reading my tweets.
Yeah, you're ignoring me, aren't you?
Yeah, no, sorry.
You get your knee sorted out.
I've got my knee sorted.
Yeah, no, you got a metal kneecap.
Yeah, what were you saying then?
They got a new orthopaedic hospital.
Oh, where?
See, she didn't listen to a word I said, did she?
I would like to know. I was just reading.
Well, I just read it.
My tweet.
Well, listen back to the show now.
Yeah, so if you want...
Maidstone Hospital.
It's a shame, though, that they don't have anything in K&C in Canterbury, because we're like, you know, we have to go to Margate, Ashford. Last time I was at Ashford, 21 hours in A&E with a suspected brain bleed, which was not good.
Yeah.
No beds, no MRI available. So we need to get Canterbury together. I think they're, Beth, you probably know this, they were going to build on it, weren't they? Flats and accommodation.
Yeah, I think they definitely were.
Yeah.
But they're still, it's just being run down. It's very dinosaurish.
I remember a story of giving birth to my twins and having to go from Canterbury to Ashford Hospital in the ambulance because they were closing the wing that day.
Over the speed bumps.
Over the speed bumps into Ashford.
It's a long way because it's all country lanes as well,
But what made me laugh, they closed the A&E at Kent and Canterbury Hospital and transferred it all to the William Harvey at Ashford. And on the week that they transferred it, they shut the A&E in Ashford to refurbish it. I mean, that's what you call planning, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
A commercial vehicle hire business is expanding. The Mayor, Councillor Hugh Patterson, cut the ribbon to mark the official opening of a new workshop for Pro Hire in Lamberts Road, Tunbridge Wells. The vehicle maintenance unit will be key to the firm's rental businesses, and the six-figure investment in the building has enabled the company to take on 8 new members of staff, tripling the size of the firm's workforce in Tunbridge Wells. They include 2 mobile technicians who can now service customers' vehicles on the road or off-site. Oh, well done.
And a developer behind new plans to regenerate a dockside industrial estate, which could create hundreds of jobs, is asking for people's thoughts on them. Businesses and residents are being consulted on proposals for an employment and enterprise zone at Chatham Docks. Mm. The developer has now unveiled its project for a business campus called Basin 3. And it's going to transform the existing brownfield land into adaptable workspace with the opportunity to create hundreds of jobs and apprenticeships.
Medical device manufacturer Bedfont is elated to announce its recent success in winning not one but 2 esteemed business awards at the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce Business Awards. The annual business awards, which took place at Western Hanger Castle at the end of November, bring together the business community, showcasing the amazing achievements of a range of businesses and talented individuals throughout Kent. Bedfont was delighted to have won success in the International Trade 2023, boasting over 82 distributors worldwide, with exports accounting for 80% of turnover for the past 9 years. Bedfont was over the moon to win Innovative Business of the Year 2023, making it the 3rd year in a row. A significant achievement.
Somebody's on our thing. That's right.
Oh, that was you, wasn't it?
No, it's not me. It's somebody on our green room.
Right.
It's going wild.
All right, okay.
I was just texting Mikey.
All right. A significant achievement and testament to the innovation that is at the heart of Bedfont. She's messing with the screen, isn't she? I know.
It's not me.
No, okay.
I wouldn't know how.
Yeah. Have you got any more left? You've read all yours, haven't you?
No, I've got a couple. So, Base Point, they have a last famous marsh network, if you're down that end of Kent. Mm. It's the last one of the year, so Christmas attire is preferred, but not optional. It's at 7:45 a.m, Tuesday the 19th of December. And to book, you can go on to marshnetwork.co.uk or Kent Business Radio, all details there. There'll be a final meeting. Come along in your Christmas jumpers and sparkle. Enjoy mince pies, a Christmas quiz, and a relaxed style of professional networking. The full English will be served, which I rather like.
Now, come back, Jules. It's not yet.
So it's Tuesday the 19th of December, and it's 7:45, and it's at Base Point, which is in a great location, they say. It's next to the M20 junction to Folkestone, with good connections to Dover, Ashford, Maidstone, Romney Marsh, and beyond. And he says, see you there. And that's Terry T. E. Botty?
T.D. Botty.
T.D. Botty.
T.D. Botty.
But go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and you'll find out all about it. I'm just watching the screen.
Okay. I want to tell you. You keep looking at that. What's going on?
There's Mike Thompson would like to view your desk. Shall I? Yeah, he's accepted himself.
A lot of you know I run a free schools event called Careers 30-30, where I take 30 businesses into a school to talk to 30 A-level students about the world of work. Well, I've got the next event scheduled in February, but it's a little bit different.
Is it?
Yes. It's not in a school.
Oh, where is it?
It's at a university.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're inviting you to inspire and prepare students at Canterbury Christchurch University for the world of work. So this event, the 30-30, is taking place at St. Augustine's House on the campus of Canterbury Christchurch University on Wednesday the 21st of February. It's from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. And Skills 30-30 invite up to 30 people from industry and voluntary sector to engage directly with students through facilitated speed networking and an employability workshop. The Skills event will engage up to 60 students aged 18 plus on under and postgraduate degree programs at Christchurch University. The networking sessions will help students build their confidence to give them experience to develop conversations in a safe environment and enables them to meet a wide range of people from varying business environments. Now, if you want to get involved in this, you can email either me or Munya. I do a lot of these in partnership with a chap called Munya Badsey. Munya works for the NHS, the East Kent Trust. You can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk, or you can email Munya, munya.badsey, B-A-D-D-Z-E, at nhs.net. Email either of us, we'll give you the full details and tell you more about the 30-30 event that's taking place at Christchurch University on the 21st of February. And just a heads up, I haven't got a date for it yet. I'm also going to be doing a 30-30 at the Island Works in Sheerness.
Oh, okay, that'll be great.
Yeah, and that again is a 30-30 with a slight difference. We're going to be talking to 30 NEETs. They're young people aged 16 to 24 that are not in education or employment.
That sounds really good.
And I'm doing that in conjunction with the Department of Work and Pensions. But I'll give you a date for that when we've got one sorted out.
Yeah, that would be good. Mm. And Tasey64, as we've mentioned before, she's listening in and she says, sounds like Rachel has got a lovely energy around her, very calming.
Mm.
Wishing her a successful 2024. I love her values, says Tracy, around creating a wonderful experience for her customers from booking to end of stay. Big organisations, previously mentioned, can learn a thing or two. Customer is king, she says. Mm. Rachel? Oh,
thank you.
Absolutely.
She sounds like she's on the ball with those there.
Absolutely. Right. There is tomorrow, manana, at 10:30 till 12, Western Networking. We hope you can join us on December the 13th for our next meeting for Western Focus businesses. We're delighted to be able to host this meeting at the George and Dragon. They're all going to the pub, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're all going to the pub tomorrow. The meeting sponsors are Reign Supreme Accountants. Oh, I like that. Reign Supreme Accountants, yeah, there. Monica Falana will be speaking on the following topics: why you need to know your numbers and how often you should review your cash flow, including working capital. I'm going to tell you about a couple of other meetings, and then I'll give you the link at the end, save reading it out three times. There's also December the 15th, networking. Ah, you'd like that, Beth.
Yeah.
This event welcomes local businesses and individuals to network face-to-face, offering an opportunity to build valuable business relationships while enjoying a lovely walk. Yeah. The walk will take around 1 hour with refreshments provided by Thackeray Williams Solicitors. We're going to meet outside the cafe at Chartwell. Yeah. Dressed in your best Christmas outfits. Buddy the Elf, what's your favourite colour?
I've never even watched that film, but I take it for him. What is the film?
Buddy the Elf.
Oh, I've never watched it.
Yeah.
My kids are grown up, it's the trouble, you know. I do like Paddington Bear, though. I have watched that.
Oh,
I love the what's it called, the graphics of it all.
Don't get me started. We've where are we? We're the 12th of December. We've already had Love Actually three times. and what's the other one with Bruce Willis?
I don't know. I'm not really a...
Yeah, no, the one with the action movie, Nakatomi Center and all
Die
that.
Die Hard?
That's him.
Yeah.
Die Hard. Oh, we've had that four times already
as
well.
Why, is that Christmassy then?
Yeah, they always play it at Christmas, don't they? Really? And it's Amanda's two favourite films.
Is it Christmassy though, Die Hard?
Yeah, it's set at Christmas time, isn't it? He's on his way home for Christmas from...
is that where he gets stuck in a big building?
Exactly,
yeah. That's a good film. That is a good film.
No, it's not. Not when you've seen it four times a week. Also, taking place on December the 21st is Tunbridge Wells Networking. We hope you can join us for our last third Thursday networking meeting of 2023 at Sankey's Seafood Kitchen and Bar in Tunbridge Wells. Situated in a Victorian manor house at Mount Ephraim in the heart of Tunbridge Wells, the Seafood Kitchen and Bar follows in the family's tradition of running great pubs and restaurants. Councillor Matthew Sankey, who is the owner of Sankey's and a Tunbridge Wells Borough Council Small Business Champion, will be giving a small talk, and we're delighted to welcome Jenny Kitchen and Peter Kenyon to talk about the launch of Amplify, which you mentioned earlier.
Jenny Kitchen should be a chef, really, shouldn't she?
She should, really, yeah. That's on the 21st of December. All three of those networking events can be found by going to kempersradio.co.uk/calendar. You can find all of those events there in full glorious technicolour detail with a booking link for all of them.
And rounding off with a pearl of wisdom from a new follower, Kevin James, Kevin, K-E-V-A-N, James Wright on the Twitter, as in writing. I have long held the belief that if the NHS actually treated people better and treated them for what ails them, staff would be treated better themselves. There's a pearl of wisdom. Kevin James Wright, W-R-I-T-E, and Kevin is K-E-V-A-N. Thank you, Kevin.
West Kent Business announces the West Kent Expo 24. We're delighted to announce West Kent will have a business-to-business expo in 2024. On Thursday the 14th of March, the River Centre Medway Wharf Road, Tunbridge, will open its doors to welcome businesses of all shapes and sizes from all over West Kent. With up to 50 exhibition stands, workshops and plenty of networking opportunities, this will be the place to showcase and celebrate businesses across the West Kent area. If you want to know more, you can email expo@westkentbusiness.com for details of exhibiting and sponsorship. If you want to just attend as a visitor, it's free, and you can book your place by going to westkentexpo24.eventbrite.co.uk. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
We've made it. We've made it to the
made
end of another show.
Another show.
Yeah. I want to say a huge thank you to our two fabulous guests, Bethany Nightingale of The Focus Mind, Rachel Hodge of Property by Polygon. Thank you both so much for being brilliant, brilliant guests. To my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin. We'll be back with another Business Bunker show next week. Stay safe, healthy and happy, everybody, and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.